A very good morning, brothers and sisters of Pantai Baptist Church. It is indeed a great honor and privilege for me to be here to share the last sermon of the year. I want to thank Brian and your pastors for giving me this honor and privilege. Shall we join our hearts together to commit this time to our Lord? Father Lord, thank you for bringing all of us here this morning. Together we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we know that your presence is in our midst. May you pour out your Holy Spirit upon this sanctuary of yours. And I am empty, but you are full. May you fill me with your Holy Spirit, that your words that go forth will touch the hearts of your people in a very special manner at the end of this year, that their life will be transformed and never the same again. We thank you and praise you in Christ's precious name. Amen. This morning, I'm going to share the title of my message. It's called Finishing Well, and I'm going to do an exposition and unpack from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. As we come to the last day of 2023, we realize, especially for those who are older, that time flies and it can be so scary. We are now in 2023, but in the next few hours, we will be entering a new year of 2024. What will 2024 bring to our life? Time and tide waits for no man. What is this life that we have on this earth? What is our life? The Bible tells us in James 4:14, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. How true! As we enter into the new year, we realize that our life is very brief, very transient, very fleeting, and very fragile. How then should we live our life, this brief life on this earth? The Bible provides the answer in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. God tells us how to live our life on this earth, the brief life that we all have. Live a life that is worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. In short, in the shortness of life, we are called to shine for Christ and not to shame Christ. That is what we have done in the past, and we will continue to plod on and shine for Christ in the year to come. And today, as we enter into the last day of the year, it is a good time for us to examine our lives in 2023 and in the earlier years. Socrates wisely said, a life that is not self-examined is not worth living. And the Bible also tells us and informs us and exhorts us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself whether you have been chasing Christ or you are chasing the world. Sometimes, for me and for some of us, some part of our life, we are chasing after Christ and also chasing after the world. I can tell you this is a miserable life, because when you chase Christ and chase after the world together, you are conflicted. Your values are compromised. Your life is very confusing. Therefore, brothers and sisters, as we examine our lives, we must shine for Christ, and that is our primary purpose and meaning of living on this short life on earth. And we know that only those who are chasing after Christ will finish well. There is no other way. The only way is chasing after Christ, and you will finish well. But how do we finish well? The Bible reminds us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. And the Word of God says that, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and sin that easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and now is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I will unpack and do an exposition on these two verses, and there are 3 points I want to share. To finish well, brothers and sisters, you need to do 3 things in your life as you examine your life today and tonight. Before you enter into 2024, the first thing you need to do is look at the past. We need to look at the past sometimes, but not all the times, because we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses. What is this great cloud of witnesses? This great cloud of witnesses are those people who has gone ahead of us, who have gone home to be with the Lord, and they have finished well. They are the heroes and heroines of faith. They are now in the clouds in heaven, you imagine. They are encouraging us, they are cheering us that 2023 is coming to an end. You can have a new beginning in 2024 with Christ Jesus, chasing after him and not the world. And if you go to the preceding verse in chapter 11, from verse 1 to 7, is listed the names of those who have finished well. They have been faithful. And the names start from Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, until David and Samuel. And one of the things when you read the Bible, and I like to think and imagine what the author is trying to tell us. And I was surprised as I look at the names. There were only 16 names. If you look at the Bible from cover to cover, there are at least 200 to 300 names, the people of God in the Bible, but only 16 are listed here. People who finish well. I'm sure some are not listed. Brothers and sisters, it means that many people of God will not finish well. Finishing well for God's people is not a norm. It is a rarity. And we need to learn from these heroes and heroines of faith, because their life inspires us, their life in the Bible instructs us how to finish well chasing after Christ. When I was a young Christian, again, I like to think when I read the Bible, when I was a young Christian, when I read the Bible, I think a lot. And I wonder why in the New Testament, in Acts 13, have you ever wondered like me? Acts 13, God said, this is God's word, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. I was astonished. I was perplexed. How is it that the only person that God say and commanded that he is a man after my own heart is David? I read, and you read in the Bible, David broke 5 of the 10 commandments, the 6th commandment. David murdered Uriah. The 7th commandment. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. The 8th commandment, David stole Bathsheba from Uriah. The 9th commandment, David lied to the high priest Abimelech. that he's coming from Saul, but actually he was running from Saul. And the 10th commandment that David broke was because he coveted his neighbor's wife. But yet God called David a man after God's own heart. And I realize it is true. The Bible speaks only the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I discover when I read 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, whenever David sinned against God, David will say, I have sinned against the Lord. Sin is not about you and me. Sin is about God. And that is why whenever David sinned, he broke all the 5 commandments. He came before the Lord because sin is against the Lord. And he repented. He said that, God, I confess my sin. You are faithful and just. You will forgive me all of my sins and purify me from all unrighteousness. Every time he sinned, he asked for forgiveness, he repented, he restituted, and he was forgiven, and he was purified, and he was righteous before the eye of God. And that is why he is a man after God's heart, because his life is all about God, especially when he sinned. Now you look at the life of Saul. Saul, actually, not a bad person. Not a bad king. I thought, what did he sin? The Bible says that he offered the burnt offering in front of the altar, which is a sin because only the high priest can do. Okay, that is not a big sin, you know. Killing people is a big sin. Then God said, you kill all the Amalekites, King Agag, you must kill. He didn't kill King Agag. Yeah, he sinned. But every time, the big difference between Saul and David is that when Saul sinned, small sin or big sin, he said that, I have sinned. And then he put a full stop. And that is a very grave error. When you sin and you are like Saul and say that, I have sinned and full stop. Where is God in your life? It's all about I, and I. And that is why Saul never finished well. Judas never finished well. When Judas betrayed Jesus, he was remorseful. And what did he do? He said again, you read the Bible, Matthew 27:4. Judas said, I have sinned. And then he put a full stop there as well. Where is God in their life? They never live a God-centered life. And that is why, brothers and sisters, it is so important that to finish well, we must center our life on God. It doesn't matter when you sin, because you must remember that life on earth is a marathon race. It is not a 100-meter dash. You can start off, you know, as a great Christian, you know, and then you fizzle out. It is the one that finish at the end that matters. It is not how you start, but how you finish that matters, because the one that finish will receive the reward. And brothers and sisters, like me, like you, all of us have sinned. And we must realize that the Bible tells us that no sin is too big for God to forgive. God is bigger than any of our sin, even David's sin. He murdered, he stole, he committed adultery. God can still forgive you, but you must come before God and ask for forgiveness and repent and do restitution. Recently, I read this story, a very moving story, of a man called Blind Chang Sun. He is called the blind evangelist that see. Many people, Helen Keller said, that many people are not blind, but they cannot see. But this is a blind evangelist that see. In China, Chang Sun, that lived 150 years ago, was called the most wicked man in China because he was a drunkard, he was a gangster, he was a thief, you know, and everything that is bad about a man is found in Chang Sun. He lived in Manchuria. He expelled his wife. He's a womanizer. He sent his daughters to become prostitutes. What kind of man is this? And then he became blind. He became blind. And the people in China say, serve you right. you are such a wicked man, and maybe God has punished you, and you are blind. But he heard that 120 miles away in Mukden, Manchuria, there is a hospital, a mission hospital with Western doctors. And he wanted his eyes to be healed. He walked 120 miles. He arrived in the hospital. He stayed in the hospital. But his eyes was only partly filled. However, his soul was completely healed. He had a dream of Jesus Christ while in the hospital, and he was full of joy. And he told the missionaries, James Webster, that I want to be baptized because I truly believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But the Western missionaries are very wise. They said, no, you have to wait for 4 months. After 4 months, you come back. If you still want to be a Christian, we will baptize you. And so Chang Shen went back to his village. And 4 months later, when the missionary came and looking for Chang Shen, they said that he is the person that has started 7 churches and more than 200 people has come to Christ. And Chang Shen was baptized. He was still blind. He learned Braille and he memorized the whole Bible. And like our Lord Jesus Christ, he spent his whole life, the rest of the 12 years, preaching the gospel all over China. He was spat at, he was beaten, and they set dogs on him, but he never gave up. During the Boxer Rebellion in 1899 to 1900, the Boxers came looking for him. There were 32,000 Christians that were massacred, and OMF have 79 missionaries, adults and children that were murdered. And when they came to look for Chang Shen, he was in the cave. And Chang Shen, knowing that the Boxers are coming after him, he did not run away. He came and met with them and confronted them. And they were so happy, they tied him, they brought him to a cemetery, they beheaded him, but they were scared because they knew that Jesus Christ rose after 3 days, and they realized that Chang Shen may just rise after 3 days, and they decided to burn him, and then they ran for their life. And because of that, many people came to Christ. Chang Shen was the most wicked man in China. The worst became the best man in China. We are all actually broken vessels, like David and Chang Shen. But with the blood and body of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are mended and whole. All of us are mended and whole, amen? You know, in 2019, I and my wife, we went to Japan to visit a missionary from Malaysia. And we took the underground, you know, in Tokyo, the underground. And then I saw actually there was a shop that was selling this pottery. And to my amazement, these pottery are all broken. There is this art, Japanese art, that has lasted for 500 years called kintsugi, which means joined with gold. Under the hand of a skillful craftsman, the broken vessel can be mended together with gold and made whole once again. And brothers and sisters, if you look at those broken vessels that has been mended and become wholesome, they are even more beautiful than the original one. And this reminds us that all of us, without exception, here are all broken vessels, not because of the blood and body of Jesus Christ. We will not be mended, wholesome, and complete. And we thank our Lord Jesus Christ, by his grace and mercy, we are today mended whole. Brothers and sisters, to finish well, running after Christ, we need to look at the past. Many heroes and heroines have finished well, although their lives are tainted. Now we need to look at the present. God's word tells us that let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The road ahead for us in 2024 is filled with many obstacles. Obstacles that are difficult, obstacles that are dangerous. And these obstacles will stumble us, obstruct us, and hinder us, and we will not finish well. Be reminded, be forewarned, that the road ahead of us is difficult and dangerous. Because there are hindrances, the King James Version exchanged the word hindrances as a weight, as an encumbrances. The life ahead of us are filled with encumbrances, with weight, with baggages that are heavy and that weigh us down so that we cannot travel light and we cannot travel far. The life ahead is going to be difficult. And if I'm going to list all the hindrances in our life in 2024, I will enter into 2024 to finish it. And I will just want to point out three important hindrances. Number one, laziness. Some Christians are lazy. They spend their time watching television. They spend their time doing these things, doing nothing. And this will hinder us from finishing well. The other one is distraction. We are so distracted doing work day in and day out. We exchange our health for the wealth. And then when we are old, we need to exchange our wealth for health. And this is paradoxical. It is not worth it. Don't work all the time. You know, in Ipoh, I realized when I come to KL, in Ipoh it's very different. At 5 o'clock sharp, everybody go home. There's a little bit of traffic jam. You know, all my friends, they work 9 to 5, 9 to 5, 9 to 5. I come to KL, I said, my friend, one doctor friend, he really going to retire. He worked from like 7 a.m. to like 10 p.m. And this is a culture that I realized that is common in KL. Maybe in KL, you have to work very hard. But realize that when you work so hard, so early, and you go back so late, where is there time for you to read the Bible, to pray, and do ministry? We need to prioritize and seek the kingdom first, and all these other things will be given to you. And the most important internal thing that hinders us, from my experience, is unforgiveness. Many of us, we like to look back and we harbor this unforgiveness, resentment and anger against our spouse, against our parents, against our children, against our fellow workers, against our relatives, so on and so on. And this unforgiveness is a hindrance for us that we cannot pray, we are too sensitive to do ministry, we cannot read the Bible, we get angry, and you know that we should not dwell in the past. You know, Isaiah 43 verse 18, you know, especially pertinent for us. Isaiah 43 verse 18, God says that, forget the former things. Forget the former things, this unforgiveness, this hurt. Don't dwell on the past. God is doing a new thing in our life every year. Don't you perceive it? God is making a way in the wilderness of our life, and God is making streams in the wasteland of our life. When God told Lot and his family to run away for Sodom and Gomorrah before he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, God said, you don't look back, don't dwell in the past. But Lot's wife liked to look back. He enjoyed his time in Sodom and Gomorrah. He cannot forget the former things. And he became a pillar of salt. You know, as I reflect back, I learn from my fellow brothers and sisters as they come and talk to me. I want to borrow their wisdom. There's a particular couple I know, 25 years, they are in my church in Ipoh. Both have passed away because the husband is a very famous national hero in Malaysia. in the 1950s, he was a national hero. He spent his time being a hero, and he never spent time taking care of his business. He's very wealthy. He never spent time taking care of his business. He never spent time taking care of his family. And then when he's old, he lost his business, he lost his money. But the wife, you know, wives are all very wise. God say that men need a helper, you know. So the wife, when the husband was doing all these valueless things, the wife was accumulating the husband's wealth. So imagine when they are reaching the 60s, the husband has lost everything, the wife has everything. And then when they are married 50 years, they had a big celebration, you know, 50 years of wedding. They had a big celebration in the biggest hotel in Ipoh, and all the people come, and I was there. And I can tell you that on the surface, this is the perfect model couple. But many people don't realize that the husband used to come and see me. And he tell me that my wife, you see me in the church, we are sitting, he normally sit at one corner there, every day faithfully. But he told me that every time you see, we are so nice. But the minute we leave that door, my wife will be starting to scold me, you know. My wife has so much of resentment and unforgiveness in the car, she will be scolding me very loud. I say, your wife is such a gentle, such a nice, petite lady. Wow, she's petite, but the voice is not petite, no, very loud. He will scold me because he said that my mission in life from today onwards is to torture you. When I torture you, my unforgiveness will disappear. But it doesn't. The more he tortured the husband, the more his unforgiveness stayed with him. And Paul says we must focus on only one thing. We must forget the past and look forward to what lies ahead. Because we are going in the front direction and not in the back direction, and that is why we don't look back. Hindrances are difficult, but sins are dangerous, brothers and sisters. All of us know, because the Bible tells us that sin entangles us. Sin ties us down so that we cannot move, we cannot run, and we cannot finish the race, and we will not finish. And the Bible tells us there are only three categories of sin. There's no fourth category. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 16 say that, do not love the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These are the three sins that will trap us, that will ambush us, that we will not finish well. And they are sex, money, and pride, to shorten it. And no one who is born of God continues to sin. And Jesus was tempted in every way, these three sins. Jesus was tempted in every way. Every way is in these three sins. One was the lust of the flesh. After Jesus in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus fasted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, the devil came and tempted Jesus in three ways. The lust of the flesh. The devil told Jesus, you are hungry, isn't it? 40 days didn't eat. Turn the stone to bread. Jesus said, for it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but from every word that comes out from the word of God. So the Satan failed. First category. Second category, Satan said, the lust of the eyes. Satan took Jesus to the highest mountain and looked at the kingdom of the world. Look at all the possession, all the power, the dominion. I will give it to you if you kneel down before me. But Jesus said, for it is written, you shall only worship your God. Third temptation. Then Satan took Jesus to the highest point of the temple and said that, you know that God loves you? And if God loves you, throw down from the temple to the ground. And then Jesus said, for it is written, thou shalt not test the God. So Jesus was tempted in every way, and yet he did not sin. And because he did not sin, he can take our sin and die for us. In 1945, after World War II, if you have lived in America and you open the morning papers, you will find that the papers will talk about day in and day out about these three rookie evangelists, these three great young evangelists, all in the 20s. And first one was Chuck Templeton. He was the most gifted speaker and evangelist. When he shared the gospel in the stadium, 30,000 people will come and people will even overflow to the car park. Hundreds and thousands of people came to Christ because of Chuck Templeton. But brothers and sisters, I've told you that the Bible says that majority don't finish well. Chuck Templeton in 10 years gave up his faith, became an atheist because it was fashionable. You know, we like to do things that are fashionable. So he became an atheist, he became a new pastor, and he gave up his ministry. Then there was another one, also started from the starting block like a rocket. His name is Bon Clifford. Bon Clifford was also very gifted, and he shared the gospel. You know, in 10 years, his wife gave birth to two children with Down syndrome. He gave up his faith. He became a drunkard. In 10 years, he died. And there was no money even to buy a coffin for Bon Clifford. He did not finish well. There was a third one, Billy Graham. But in 1948, as he was sharing the gospel, and he knew that history taught him that majority will not finish well, two has not finished well, he decided to have this rule, what some of us call the Billy Graham rule. For ministers, for workers, for Christians, it is good to have this Billy Graham rule that he had in 1948. And this is all about public integrity. Number one, about money. He never solicit money. He never fly a private jet. He only take a salary. All the money are managed by other committees. He's very careful with money. Number two, about sex. Whenever, wherever he go, he's never alone with women. He never counsel women alone. And whenever he goes to the hotel, his aide will go in and check the room first that it is clean and nice. Third, pride. Billy Graham never boasts about his ministry, about how many people he has saved and how great is him. He is only an instrument of God. That is all he is. And when he was old in 2011, he wrote this book called Nearing Home, Finishing Well. And Billy Graham finished well because he did not fall into the temptation of sin. Money, the Bible tells us that don't love money. Money is a good servant, but a bad master. We must pursue godliness and contentment. Contentment is happy with the things that you don't have. What is contentment? Contentment is not happy with the things that you have. Contentment is happy with the things that you don't have. And that's what Christians are called to. And we know in 2015, down south, six church leaders were put into prison. Did they shine for Christ? Did they shine for Christ? No, because they love money and use people. As church leaders, they are supposed to love money, love people, and use money. But they got all mixed up. They got all mixed up. Money, don't fall in love. Sex, don't fall in love again the second time. You fall in love with your wife or your husband, one time is good enough. Don't go for the second time. And you must flee from temptation. But fleeing from temptation is not good enough. The Bible tells us that as we flee from temptation, we must feed on the Bible. Whenever there's a red flag in our life, we sit there and we are very comfortable. The Bible tells us when we are in the situation where there's a red flag, we must flee, we must run away. And as we run away, we must run towards the Bible, because the Bible tells us that your word in my heart help me not to sin against you. Because the Bible keeps us away from sin, or sin will keep us away from the Bible. The day when my wife discovered that I don't read my Bible every day, my wife will know that I'm sinning. And that is why it's so important when she looks at me, she looks whether I'm reading the Bible every day, morning and night. Because the Word of God that is placed in your heart will move you to flee from temptation, and you will want to obey God. Winston Churchill said that those that fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. All of us are forewarned, and you are forewarned, you are forearmed. Money, don't fall in love. Sex, don't fall in love again. But the greatest of all sin is pride, because pride goes before destruction. There's no way you're going to finish well if you are proud, you are boastful, you are haughty. There's no way, because the Bible tells us that God opposes the proud. Imagine, when I want to be proud, God opposed me and I become God's enemy. It is the biggest sin. And that is why we must learn to be humble. If you want God to favor you, you must humble before God. God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Our life is all about Jesus Christ and full stop, nothing else. Never, ever try to steal God's glory. Because God in the Bible say that I will not yield my glory to anyone. And King Herod Antipas heard the word of God but did not obey. When the people heard God, heard King Herod Antipas speaking, they say that this is the word of God. And Herod was proud. And he was proud, not knowing that the worms were already at his feet, at his hand, at his head, eating him up. Acts chapter 12, verse 23 say that King Herod Antipas was eaten by worms and died. The Bible is very clear. King Herod did not die and eaten by worms, you know. King Herod was eaten by worms and died. So every time I want to be proud, I tell myself, I look at my feet and my hand, whether there are worms starting to eat me up. Brothers and sisters, our race of life on this earth is fraught with danger. We will fall, we will sin, we will fail, we have crash landing, we have all the bad things happening to us. And that is why the Bible tells us that we must run our race with perseverance. And what is perseverance? I like to make life simple for myself. Perseverance means never giving up. Every time I fall down, I fail, I just get up and get moving again. I never give up on God because God never give up on me. There's no sin in your life that is too big for God to forgive. Ask God to forgive, repent, restitute, and move on again. There is the finishing line that is waiting for us. Remember, our race are all different because we have different gifts, we have different abilities, we have different situation, we have different family, we have everything different. And that is why God marked out our race specifically for each and every one of us. Some of us just taking care of our sick husband. Our sick husband that is sick, taking care. That is our race. God wants us to take care of our husband well. Maybe God wants you to take care of your wife well because she's sick or your children is sick. That is your ministry. That is your primary ministry. Your family comes first. You have to take care of your family well. Our race are all different. Don't look at the sight and compare, contrast, and compete. We must cooperate and collaborate. Brothers and sisters, to finish well, we look at the past heroes. We look at the present. They are full of hindrances and sin that will entangle us. And finally, We need to look into the future, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. We need to have a sharp focus, a very sharp focus. How sharp? I imagine these horses. I know nowadays we don't have these horses. I look at the stories. You know, in the past, they have these horses with blinkers, you know. Blinkers means that there are two things at the side so that the horses are not startled by anything from the side. So the horses only look in front. And we need to have blinkers fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ, our pioneer and perfecter of faith. And Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25 says that, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Because if you look to the left, there are many nice things in the world that will pull you away. If you look to the right, there are many bad things in the world that will push you away from Jesus Christ. And I always say that because my eyes, God has put in front. I think your eyes also put in front. That is why we must look ahead and not look behind. If you look behind so much, then God might just transplant your two eyes behind. And Proverbs 30, verse 9, and this applies to all of us. For if I grow rich, I will forget about you. If I grow too poor, I will sin and forsake you and profane your name. And all of us are very blessed in PBC because we are neither rich nor poor. If you are neither rich nor poor, then you should fix your eyes straight ahead on Jesus Christ, our pioneer and perfecter of faith. He will help us. He will strengthen us. He will guide us. You know, this rowing race that I saw this picture. In this rowing race, if you want to win, there are 8 rowers and 1 coxswain. The coxswain is the one that sits at the back of the canoe. And you see how they row, you know, to win. The coxswain, there's only one. The coxswain don't row. He faces the finish line. He's the only person that faces the finish line. He knows when they're going to win. And then he's the one that will guide the rowers to row, how to row, which direction, slow down, fast. And that is Jesus Christ. He knows our finishing line when we are going to go home. He doesn't do the work on earth. He just guides us and leads us. We are the rowers, the 8 of the rowers. We are the one doing the work on earth. And our back is towards the finish line. We don't know when we are going home. And because of that, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ and not look at the side, right or left side. For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning his shame, and now he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Brothers and sisters, for Jesus, the road to finishing well was a way of the cross. And the way of the cross is the way of shame, suffering, and death. There are people who tell me, I want to go heaven, but don't die one. I say, cannot. You want to go to heaven, you die. Unless you are Enoch. Enoch and Elijah did not die. They were raptured. Even for our Lord Jesus Christ, for him to finish well, he needs to take the way of the cross of shame, suffering, and death. And that is why the Bible says that Christ suffered for you, leaving for you an example that you will follow in his footsteps. In this life, in 2024, certainly Jesus will be with us. Jesus will strengthen us. Jesus will enable us. Jesus will encourage us. The Holy Spirit will be there to be with us, to guide us and lead us so that we can finish well. But the road ahead is fraught with danger and hindrances. And we will suffer pain and we need to turn to Jesus whenever we are in pain. In the year 65 AD, Paul, the greatest missionary, was in a Roman dungeon. He was imprisoned because he proclaimed the gospel. And as he looked back at his life, Paul says, I was whipped 40 times minus one. I was beaten, I was stoned, I was left naked, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was shipwrecked. I suffered. But I fixed my eyes on Jesus, because in the next few days, while in the Roman dungeon, Paul knew that he's going to be beheaded by Emperor Nero. He knew he's going to finish well. And he said, I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. But not only for me, for everyone who waits for the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many have finished well. All of us can finish well. But we need to be mindful. Look at the past for encouragement. Look at the presence, that there are a lot of risks involved. And forever, look into the future. Have a sharp focus on Jesus Christ, especially when you fail, when you sin, and when you have a crash landing. Because no sin is so big that God cannot forgive. Ask for forgiveness, repent, and move forward in your life. And then you will finish well. Let us pray. Father Lord, thank you for your word this morning that pierces deep into our heart, that all of us can finish well if we fix our focus on you, Jesus Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And we need to run this race that is marked for us with perseverance, knowing always that the Holy Spirit dwells in us and will strengthen us, that Jesus Christ is by our side, that through His grace that we can be forgiven. And maybe some of us here, we are here for the first time or second time, and we have not surrendered our life to Jesus Christ. And yet we want to finish well on this earth. And God may be speaking personally and directly to you this morning. This is an opportunity of your lifetime, that you may want to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Because He is the one that will help you to finish well and finish strong on earth. And if you are the one that Jesus Christ is speaking to, you feel a tug in your heart. You feel something strange happening in your heart. Will you be brave enough to raise your hand to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, our Savior? Will you surrender your life to Jesus Christ today? It is not a coincidence, but God's incidence that you are here. Will you raise your hand? As you honor God, God will honor you. Will you pray? Father, I confess of all my sins and ask for your forgiveness. I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior today and forever. I commit to follow Jesus all the days of my life. And for those of us who are already Christian for many years, the Word of God may have spoken to you and touched you in a very special, personal way. For the first time, you want to finish well. And as you enter into 2024, you want to chase after Jesus. There is enough of chasing after the world. I want to chase after Jesus. I want Jesus to be in my life. I want to obey Him. I want to serve Him. I want to glorify Him. And if you are the one that Jesus is speaking to, before we enter in the next few hours to 2024, will you also raise your hand? As you honor God, God will honor you in 2024. You want to recommit your life? You want to renew your life in 2024? Will you raise your hand? Don't be shy. Raise your hand, and God see your hand. and God will grant you favor, and God will bless you, and God will strengthen you. Lord, you see the brothers and sisters that have raised their hand, and also some who are shy to raise their hand. Will you, through your mercy and grace, bless them, guide them in the year to come, where many things are uncertain, many things are fraught with danger and difficulties. Help our brothers and sisters to finish well, that they will obey you, they will serve you. Open doors of opportunity for them, Lord, so that they can use their gift and talents to serve others, to love others inside and outside the church, so that they can bring glory to your name and they can shine for Christ. We thank you for all of us. In Christ's precious name, we pray and ask. Amen.